And moving to our next category, we are going to, these three questions are about public health and safety. And Mr. Kennedy will be taking the first question in this series. So public health and safety, here's our first. Please share your views on the Medicaid expansion under the ACA and your plans to assure continued expanded access to health care to vulnerable populations in Illinois.
I think the expansion of the ACA is one of the greatest things that's happened to the state of Illinois in the, certainly in this century. And the fact is we're down to probably 6% of the population that's not insured. That's too large a percent, but it's incredible the progress that's been made. And we owe President Obama a great debt of gratitude for doing that. People who supported him risked their careers and continue to fight for the ACA. But the fact is that that 6% number isn't something that we should brag about. We outperform other states, but for too many people who have insurance, that insurance is too expensive, doesn't cover enough, the deductibles are too high, children need help from their parents. We've got a broken system. There's too many people trying to make money on this system. By the time you pay the insurance companies and their margin and the cost of capital that they want and the service providers and the hospitals, we need single-payer health care.
Thank you. Mr. Paterakis.
You know, healthcare is not a right guaranteed by the Constitution, but damn hell it should be, right? And we live in the greatest country in the world, and our healthcare system is atrocious. We have people that can't afford healthcare. We have people that can't afford their medications and are choosing between food and their medication. I'm for Medicare for all and single payer, but we have to make sure that the people that are being taken care of in the state are truly being taken care of. I've seen the VA, and unfortunately, the VA was run by some really poor people. That was the first instance of socialized medicine in the United States, and the atrocities that were done by that leadership is unheard of. I still believe in Medicare for all. I still believe in single payer. We need to do our due diligence and make sure that we are truly taking care of these people once these people are on this program.
Thank you. Mr. Biss.
The Medicaid expansion in Illinois was crucial. I fought like hell to pass that. By the way, Mike Madigan didn't want to. We had to push our own party leader to pass the Medicaid expansion to fully implement the Affordable Care Act. Thank God we did. By the way, these vicious attacks on the Affordable Care Act that come from the Republicans in Congress would threaten Illinois in an extraordinary way, and Bruce Rauner has been missing in action. It's unacceptable. We need a governor who's prepared to fight against attacks on the people of Illinois and the government of Illinois, which have been coming from Washington, but we know that that's not good enough either. We need an expansion of health care. We need single payer. And don't clap yet, because we don't need to wait for Washington to do it. In fact, if we wait for Washington to pass single payer, and if we decide that no state is going to take the lead, we might be waiting forever. A state needs to go first. Illinois needs to go first. This
Thank
is
you,
a
Mr.
crucial
Mr.
difference in this race. It's not enough to say you're for single payer. Are you going to fight to do it here in Illinois? Because if not, run for president.
Thank
the
you.
Governor of Illinois needs to be fighting for Illinois single payer.
Mr. Diver.
Well, first of all, I want to say this, that health care should be a right of all Americans, because we are the greatest nation in the universe. So why do we have people, why do we have young people that have childhood caries that can't see a dentist? Why do we have people that have fungal infections that can't get treated? So I'm for expanding community care immediately to take care of these people. And don't tell me it don't work, because that young girl right there will tell you that it does, because she's a student at Northern Illinois University, and she can go to the health services right here on this campus and be treated, right? Right. And that's what I see. That's what I see as a vision, how you begin a health care program in this state that serves all people. You begin with utilizing the resources you have. You expand it to a single-payer program that progresses, that serves all people in the state, and that's how you grow into that model. But we need to help. Part of that question was, how do you serve those people who are in remote areas in the state that have no access to health care? And it's got to be through expanding health community service programs.
Thank you. And Mr. Hardiman.
Yeah, I'm definitely in favor of single-payer health care. And I'm not just saying that just to say it. We have 900,000 people in Illinois right now with no health care coverage. That's the number, 900,000 people. We have 1.7 million people living in Illinois in poverty right now. I would like to put a dent in both of those numbers. But single-payer health care is the way to go, and Medicaid for everybody in the state. You know, we have a lot, you know, we have to stop the practice of stepping on the poor and working class people in Illinois. That's why you need a governor like me that comes from the working class population that understands the state on every level. So I'm pushing for single payer health care all the way to the top. Okay.
Thank you. All right, our next question, and we start again with Mr. Kennedy. If elected governor, what will you do to expand access to mental health services?
I'd say this, we're an incredible state. We jam port cities from Rotterdam to Osaka with the products of our heartland. Our exchanges, like the Mercantile Exchange and the SIBO, dominate world markets from London to Tokyo. And our companies like Baxter rule the world in healthcare. But the greatest export we ever sent the world from Illinois was Special Olympics. Saved millions of people's lives all over Asia, all over Europe, all over South America. We're home to the greatest rehabilitation hospital in the world, the RIC in Chicago. We're home to the best program in access living to provide jobs to people with developmental disabilities or disabilities at all. We should be known throughout the world by the way we treat people with mental disabilities and disabilities as the best state in the nation. That's what I think we should do.
Thank you. Mr. Panarakis.
Mental health is at a critical injunction right now, because the fact is Republicans keep telling us, oh, mental health, we don't need to fund that. You know, get over it. You know, pick yourself up. You can do it. In fact, we have an epidemic, and it's nothing wrong with people. It's the fact that they just need some help sometimes. People go through rough times, and they need to be lifted up and need those services. You know, we don't do enough for the people that are coming out of jail to rehabilitate those people, the traumatic experiences that, you know, they were a part of. They went in, they're becoming reformed, and we do not do enough of rehabilitation for those individuals. We do not do enough for our veterans, which are going through multiples of problems of seeing things that I can't imagine what they saw fighting for our country. Yet, Republicans consistently want to cut funding for mental health services. Unfortunately, we see tragedies like we saw in Las Vegas, you know, where people just have a mental breakdown and people go, oh, I wonder what happened. If we fund mental health services properly, I would hope those instances and those atrocities would decrease.
Thank you. Mr. Biss.
Early in my time in the Illinois House, I fought hard to help pass a law creating a mental health parity in Illinois, and that was a step forward, but we know it wasn't enough. It wasn't full, real mental health parity in all situations. And I think back to my grandfather, who came to DeKalb as a refugee in the late 1930s and was one of the few physicians who together founded the DeKalb Clinic, based upon the principle of universal access to care. And I think about what he taught me as a small child about what the fundamental role of a healthcare provider is, to make sure everybody has access to care. And that is not a question of what particular procedure you need or whether it's a question of mental health or physical health. When I talk about single payer, it's about making sure we have a universal system of access to all forms of needed healthcare. That's what's at stake here. We also need to talk seriously about stigma. We need to talk about the fact that it is still in 2017 considered by some shameful to seek the mental health care they need. That's what a governor can talk about differently, and that's the attitude that a governor can lead and change.
Thank you. Mr. Diver.
Well, first, let's talk about a working knowledge of how this works and what's happened. okay? I previously told you for 22 years I served in local government and part of that time for two terms on a county board. So in each of our counties, we have mental health boards. And what's consistently happened is the funds to our counties have been cut and cut and cut and cut, in which counties just couldn't provide those services because they had no federal money, they had no state money, they are owed state money. Some of the money I talked about paying in 90 days, they still haven't received. So why do they want to provide these services? And what took place at those services was this. People that needed medication went there on a daily basis. Some of our facilities even had room facilities for people to stay. They were shelters, okay? Those shelters are closed. So where are those people? They're on the streets. They are on the streets today. No one giving them medication, no place to stay. They're being told to go to a homeless shelter where they have no care. We need to go back and fully fund our county mental health institutions like they were in 2012. Just look at the numbers, look at the figures, and look at the services.
Thank you. And Mr. Hardiman.
Yeah. Well, every county should have a mental health facility, a state-of-the-art mental health facility. We have a major issue with mental health problems all over the state, all over the nation. So as a governor, I plan to make sure that becomes a reality. I grew up in the inner city of Chicago. I grew up in the heart of the ghetto. Let me just be straight up with you. I grew up in the projects. I seen a lot of mental health around me 24 hours a day. And you had to have a certain personality to deal with all those type of personalities. But one thing I'm tired of seeing is that guys go to jail, they end up being put on medication. As soon as they get out of jail, they just release into society. The mental health clinic is closed. It doesn't make no sense. The state of Illinois will not thrive or strive until we take care of the people from the vulnerable populations. And people with mental illness are part of that vulnerable population. It's a priority of mine and my running mate, Patricia Avery, to take care of the mental health population. It's really a tragedy to see Governor Rauner close down mental health institutions in this state, because those people end up committing crimes when we could have prevented those crimes from being committed by supporting that population.
Thank you.
There we go.
And our final question in this public health and safety category. And again, we will start with Mr. Kennedy. Social services have been decimated due to the budget impasse. What will you do to restore a viable social service system?
And the truth is there are about 800 social service agencies in Illinois. Almost all of them were threatened with going out of business. Anyone which, well, rose up and spoke about the challenges that they were faced under the Rauner administration had their contracts with the state threatened. The state intentionally created a culture of fear. Fear where those agencies had no ability to speak up for themselves or for the patients that they represented. That's destroying our state. The state in the last measurable year, became smaller, and as it became smaller, it became wealthier. Average household income jumped 10%. Not because our salaries went up, not because income was higher, not because pay went up, but because we drove the poor out of the state. Anybody with a sick child, a disabled brother or sister, or elderly parents who needed home health care knew that they could not count on the state to provide those services, so they left.
Thank you. Mr. Pendarakis.
You know, with this budget that we had, the Republicans got what they wanted without introducing one piece of legislation. By holding out for so long, services had to cut staff. They weren't getting paid, they went out of business, they cut staff, and we're left with the crumbs. You know, we need to rebuild what we had, but also expand on what we had. We need universal child health care, daycare, and making sure that our children can actually get an education before they get to kindergarten, and that single moms can afford to go work so that they can provide for their children. It's not just about rebuilding, it's about expanding our social services and the help that this state gives its citizens.
Thank you. Mr. Biss.
For the terrible first 2 years of the Rauner administration, I was the chair of the Human Service Committee in the Senate and watched as agency after agency teetering on the brink of extinction because of the attacks of Bruce Rauner tried different ways to keep their doors open, tried different ways to figure out some way with many fewer staff and less resources to serve the population they'd been serving, and watched as they were threatened and bullied by the Rauner administration if they dared say a word. It's wrong. Know this. Know that when so many people were fired from that field and the capacity shrunk, when I become governor, and we have the right values in the governor's office, we're not going to be able to reverse that damage instantly. We're going to have to rebuild capacity and train people, recruit people into the social service field, and fund the schools that train them and prepare them. But know this too. We weren't investing enough in human services before 2015 either, because Illinois has a history of punishing vulnerable populations instead of lifting them up. Our priorities have been backwards, and we have to reverse them immediately.
Thank you. Mr. Diver.
Well, let's understand something very critical that's happened. When we privatize social services, they are diminished because privatization requires a profit. Remember that. When social services are provided by public entities, they are provided for public service, and that's what's important to remember. So as a governor, I will rebuild the social service sector in the state of Illinois to provide public service for those who are in need, and that is the most important thing that we have to do. We have to go back to a system in which entities, and I focus upon social service providers by counties that provide these services most cost effectively for the good and the well-being of our citizens in the state and not for profit, because social services should not be for profit. They should be for people.
Thank you. Mr. Hardiman.
All right, sorry about that. When it comes down to the social services, I've spoken about it already. The reality is that we must service the vulnerable populations and people out here. And let's just give you a quick glance of what I'm talking about. In the city of Chicago right now, you have 43% of African-American youth are unemployed. The unemployment rate for African-American people statewide is 14.2%, and that's the highest in the nation. Something has to be done about that number. And I'm not just talking about the African-American community, because I'm running for governor to service everybody, but those are some hardcore numbers. And that population of people need help, okay? I talked about 1.7 million people living in poverty. That's why social services is very important, because when people don't have the resources they need, they may need somebody to help them along the way. You know, you got people on unemployment, people out here struggling, high levels of violence, because people don't have nowhere to go. They need these type of programs. So as your governor, I'm the only candidate in this race, really, that understands society and life in Illinois from the ground level up. I'm the only person. I had to work two or three jobs when I grew up, go to school and all that kind of good stuff, and make things happen for everybody. So that's my contribution here.
Thank you.
All right.